any good football coach or basketball coach, when they head into a game, they're going to have a plan. This is what we're going to do in the first half. This is what we're going to do in the second half. If they do this play, this is how we're going to respond. If they do this, then we're going to do that. Any good coach is going to have a plan, and if he pulls off the plan, it's going to lead him to victory. When we come to Romans chapter 8, what this passage is all about is looking at God's redemption plan. Now, there are some words in here that cause some Baptists to start shaking, and it's all good. It's all inspired and errant God's word, and so there's nothing that we have to be afraid of when we come to the Word of God. Now, I like getting oil changes, but sometimes when it comes to your vehicle, you need to go a little bit deeper. You need to tear that engine apart so that you can get down there and understand what makes your car go. Well, this is where we are today. We are getting into the weeds. We're getting down deep and understand your salvation was not just some flippant afterthought. Before God ever created the world, He had a plan to redeem you. And that's what this passage is all about. Five details about our salvation. Or you could say five theological terms about our salvation. And don't get nervous. It's all good in the neighborhood. Sermon I've entitled, Saved by Grace, the Divine Plan. First one, Romans 8, verse 29. Notice the prognosis of your salvation. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. The word foreknow, literally in the Greek, is prognosis. Prognosko. Pro is before, gnosis is to know. So what is a prognosis? It is an educated guess. The weatherman yesterday made an educated guess what the weather was going to be today. I don't know what weatherman you watch, but the ones I watch, a lot of times, they're not that great at their job. Weatherman, the doctor, when it comes to your health, and I saw my doctor this week, when it comes to your health, he gives you a prognosis, an educated guess. God's prognosis or God's foreknowledge is not based upon guess. It's not based upon speculation. God knows everything that's going to happen to you before it even happens. Every intricate design that's going to happen in your life tomorrow and 10 years from now, God knows it. Isaiah 44, verse 28. He spoke of the Persian ruler Cyrus long before Cyrus was ever born. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 2. God spake of Josiah the king 300 years before he was born, and God knew his name long before his mother or his grandmother or his great-grandmother ever existed. All right, let me see some hands. How many of you have ever been to a parade? Just about all of you have been to a parade. That's a good thing. When you're at a parade, you watch float by float by float go by you. And maybe you're looking ahead and saying, what's coming up? And you're looking ahead. God's not like that. If you were at that parade, if you were to go up into a skyscraper where you're on like the 50th floor or the 60th floor, you could see the start of that parade and you could see the end of that parade all by your perspective, because it's a higher perspective. Such is the case with God's prognosis. He sees the end of time. And He sees the beginning of time all in His view. We can't understand that. We can't see it. But we can trust an all-knowing God that He knows. And He's got a plan for it. The point, you were in the heart and mind of God before He ever swung the galaxies into place. And He loves you, and He's consumed about you, and He wants to bring about good in your life. Number one, the prognosis of salvation. Number two, notice the purpose of salvation. Look at these big words. Foreknow, the next one. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. It means to set a boundary beforehand. Sometimes you say this word and people start breaking out in shakes. Oh no! What's he saying and what's he thinking? I'm reading scripture. You never have to be afraid of any word or concept that the Bible teaches. Forgotten truth about predestination. It never refers to a sinner. Predestination always refers to a believer. It always refers to a saint. So, did God predestinate some people to go to hell? No, he did not. Predestination has to do with saved people, not with lost people. Foreknowledge, the first word, and predestination are twin doctrines in God's theology. They go together. So foreknowledge, God knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. Predestination, God has a plan for everything that's going to happen before it ever happens. It's like this. You bring a big old block of granite to a sculptor. He can see something in that block of granite that you and I cannot see. And he keeps whittling away, he keeps carving away, he keeps sculpting until it is what he wants it to be. To understand predestination, you have to understand foreknowledge. First, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let me show you a couple of verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath accepted us in the beloved. This is not a political story. Excuse me. Let's say that every person in this auditorium today, you go home and FedEx has dropped off an overnight delivery for you with a request for every one of you to come to the White House, not political, so it doesn't matter who's in the White House, come to a White House for a special banquet. Every one of you receives that invitation. And you can decide, are you going to go, get fixed up with your darling spouse, go fix up and you go strutting your stuff into the White House to see the most powerful man in all the world? Or you can say, I ain't going. Don't like D.C. Don't like the current occupants of the White House. I'm not going. It's your choice, but you've been invited. Foreknowledge, God knows how you're going to respond before you ever get the invitation. And he makes plans for your response based upon how he knows you're going to respond when you get the invitation. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Foreknowledge, predestination. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. You say, all right, preacher, when it comes to salvation, is God absolutely sovereign, or does man have a free will? Listen, the answer is yes. God is absolutely sovereign. He is in control. But in his sovereignty, He doesn't want robots, so he gives us free will so that we can decide, am I going to accept the invitation or am I going to reject the invitation? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's a slander on the character of God when you say God created some people to go to hell. No, he didn't. God wants every person in this auditorium to spend eternity with him in heaven. But God, in his sovereignty, allows man to have a free will. Now look at the last part of verse 29. Predestination has to do with salvation, but it also has to do with sanctification. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God's plan in redeeming you didn't stop when you got saved. God's plan in redeeming you is to make you resemble and demonstrate and exhibit the Lord Jesus Christ. So he saved you so that you would resemble Jesus. Prognosis of your salvation. Purpose of your salvation. Thirdly, notice the proclamation of your salvation. Verse 30, for whom he did predestinate, second big word, them he also called. Third word. So what's it talking about? The word called means to issue a summons. It's a legal term meaning to subpoena. God foreknew me. God predestined me. And then God called me. True for every born again believer. God knew if you were going to accept Christ or not. He predestined all those that he knew that would accept Christ. And then he called you to come to him. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. John 12, verse 32. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You say, well, how does God do it? Through preaching, through singing, through his word, through Christian radio. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. So you were out there with your neighbor just talking about flowers, and you bring up Jesus. And while you are saying it with your voice, the Holy Spirit is saying it with his voice, and he's calling and he's drawing them. So you say, we're just talking about flowers, and I talked about the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, and the Holy Spirit moved in and he drew them and he called them. Listen, you cannot get saved unless the Holy Spirit draws you. Free will of man looks at salvation from man's point of view. Sovereign grace of God looks at salvation from God's point of view. Which one is true? They're both true. Spurgeon put it like this. Salvation is like a door. As you approach that door, you read over the top of the door. Whosoever will may freely come to Jesus. You walk through that door, you say, hey, by my free will, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. I walk through that door, you turn around and you look at the backside of that door, and it says above the door, chosen from the foundation of the world. So you say, who is it, preacher? Is it me or is it God? It is all God. But God in his sovereignty allows man a free will to choose of your own volition. Number three, the proclamation of salvation. Number four, my favorite point. I love this. For all the two Pentecostals that are in here, I say get your hanky out, because this is the closest hanky waving point I have. Number four, the purification of salvation. Look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. There's the fourth word. What is justification? It's an act whereby God declares you not guilty of your sin. He acquits you of all charges, and he gives you his righteousness. That is justification. I want you to show this in Scripture. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Notice the last part of the verse. His faith is accounted to him for righteousness. God says to the believer, I forgive you of your sins, and I declare you absolutely 100% righteous. Look at verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. You know what amputation is. It's where you lose a leg, where they take one of your members away. You also know what imputation is. It's where God gives you something. Amputation, they take it away. Imputation is where they give it to you. God, glory, hallelujah. When you say, hey, I realize I'm a sinner, I want to get saved, God says, woo! I'm going to take your sin debt, and we put it on Jesus on the cross. But that's only half the story. I'm not just taking your sin. I am giving you the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account. So therefore, when God looks at me, he doesn't see Neil's past. Glory, hallelujah. He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. All of my righteousness are as filthy rags. Jesus' righteousness is absolutely perfect in every way. And he forgives me of my sin. And I say, woo! But that's not it. He gives me the righteousness of Christ. Woo! Double woo! Because I got to have righteousness to go to heaven. Remember the old song, Rock of Ages? Here's what it says. Be of sin, the double cure. Save from wrath, that's getting rid of my sin. And make me pure, that's giving me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on up in the balcony. Amen. I got Autumn to smile. Sunday school teacher was teaching. She asked her class, is there anything God can't do? Little girl on the second row, should have been on the front row. On the second row, raised her hand. There's one thing God can't do. The teacher says, tell me, what can God not do? She said, God can't see my sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen, hallelujah. If you come in here and you're burdened down, he said, yeah, but I did this and I did this. And 20 years ago, I did this. The blood of Jesus. It's not just for a cross. It's for you. It's for your sin. You are cleansed, but hallelujah, you are justified in Jesus today. Amen. Number four, and I'm done. The purification of salvation. Notice the perfection of salvation. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You say, what is glorified or glorification? It's where you are totally in the image of Christ when you die. You will be glorified with your glorified body in heaven. But look back at the verse. Look at verse 30 again. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now you would expect him to say, them he also will, future tense, glorify. He doesn't say that. He says, them he also, past tense, glorified. What does that mean? Glory, hallelujah. When you got down on your knees and you say, I'm a filthy, rotten sinner, but I believe Jesus died on the cross, not for somebody's sin, for my sin. Jesus, I believe you were buried. I believe you rose again. And I accept you as my Lord. I accept you as my Savior. And I'm going to follow you till the day I die. At that moment, you were justified. At that moment, you were glorified. God sees you not, well, they're going to get it when they get to heaven. God sees it. You already got it. Amen? I need you to be totally honest with me. How many of you have heard of glamour shots? Come on. This is from a couple of decades ago. Stay with me. Totally honest. You already agreed to be totally honest. Nobody's worried about your sin. They're all worried about their own sin. How many of you ever went to glamour shots? Let me see some hands. Come on. The balcony's being honest. Come on down here. There's some hands. Now, I saw some of those pictures. I didn't see the before and after. I knew the before. But I saw those glamour shots, and I'm like, I need to go to glamour shots. They can make a homely person a model. That's what Jesus did for you. We want to get caught up in those first two words. Here's the deal. God knows everything. God knows everything that's going to happen before it ever happens. And in God's ultimate wisdom, God sought you because he loves you with an infinite kind of love. He says, oh, they're going to do this, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do this. But I'm going to keep calling. I'm going to keep drawing. I'm going to keep pursuing because I love them. I love them. I love them. And when you finally surrendered and said, yes, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept you as my Lord. God is saying, yeah, I've been waiting for you to do it. I knew the millisecond that you were going to say yes. And at that moment, you were justified. Justified in Jesus today. All of your sins were gone, and you received the righteousness of Christ on your account. And he sees you. Well, when they get to heaven, they're going to be, no. He sees you right now as glorified in Christ. Amen. You come in here and say, I don't feel it. I don't ask you if you feel it. I ask you to live based upon the truth. Don't listen to what the devil says. Don't listen to what the boss says. Listen to what Jesus says, and you start acting upon it. All right, now some of you are going to turn up your nose. All the good old boys are going to love this. I'm going to tell you a bad illustration. It has nothing to do with sports. All right? So I'm telling you right now, some of you are not going to like it. How many of you remember the 18? Some of you are already turning up your nose. Come on. Who were those people? Remember Mr. T? B.A. Baracus. Come on, you remember him? And then there was Howlin' Mad Murdoch, or whatever his name was, crazy. Mad Cow Murdoch. Remember him? Come on. Y'all still with me? So he said, I don't like this illustration. Eric Cockman's up there. I like it. Two hands up. Remember the pretty boy guy? Face man. Yeah. Remember him? And then remember the last one. What was the leader's name? Hannibal. Somebody in the early service told me his real name. And I'm like, I'm talking TV names. I'm not talking about real names. Hannibal Smith. Hannibal, he didn't do this in every episode. He did it in the majority of the episodes. Remember at the end of the episode, he would be holding some ungodly instrument in his fingers. And you remember what he would say? So he said, this is a horrible illustration. I told you, you weren't going to like it. Remember what he would say? Come on, say it with me. I love it when a plan comes together. Remember that? So he said, oh yeah. God has a plan for you. Long before you ever pursued him, he is pursuing you. And it's not just to save you, it's to conform you to the image of Jesus. You say, okay, what am I supposed to do? Surrender. Remember the old song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely live. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence I'm going to daily live. What do you need to do? Surrender everything. The best life is to realize how much God loves you and what a great plan He has for your life. You say, yeah, but I don't feel like a great plan. It doesn't look like a great plan. I'm in the midst of Hades. No, you're not. God is working through those difficult times to make you like the Lord Jesus. Your response, surrender. Your response, surrender. Your response, Jesus, I trust You as my Savior. I trust You as my Lord, and I surrender all.